take that into account, particularly when we get to talk about the lead story and what this means in terms of the campaign. Outreach research is based on
there is still a place for direct mail, I'll argue, and folks that are doing it, I think right? Content marketing is kind of sitting between inbound and outbound. There's a cycle that's happening here. Like content-based marketing is often inbound marketing is often when the conversation gets started. How we establish that relationship. What's that relationship that's established? That conversation continues. And modern marketing is really driving this need for content-based marketing. I'd argue, in fact, that one of the biggest drivers of content right now is adoption of marketing automation systems. Why is that? Well, we talked about it yesterday in terms of content as currency. Content is drive buyer engagement. I have a kind of theory around, and this is the first part of the discussion yesterday, the keynote about monetization and mobile marketing as it relates to monetization. Like over time, all markets trend towards commoditization, and it's really, really difficult to compete effectively just from a product and technology perspective. Look at the open innovation movement that's happening, open source, crowdsourcing, look at what happened, Apple came out with early mover advantage in smartphones, and open source network Android is crushing it from a market share perspective, right? And that's driving costs down. And innovation up. And so ultimately the conversation is how differentiation is established once products tend towards commoditization. And so I think this idea of content as currency really has a lot of merit because content as part of that conversation drive is actually creating value. And marketing has simply been a deliverer of value and a capture of value, not always a creator of value as well, which has typically been bottom. And so this conversation is actually creating relationships that spawns actually creating value for organizations. And we see this really apparently in a B2C environment. You look at there's no differentiation when it comes to pure consumer brands that are really provided with the experience and the conversation and engagement. And so there's a lesson there for B2B that as monetization evolves, they need to think about these relationships. In fact, they are. And ultimately, this engagement also fuels intelligence. We need to know more and more about who our buyer is. And there's an argument made that that lead scoring and nurturing in the AB context is really about listening. It's really about the process of listening and creating a model, creating a system to try to identify intent. So that you're timing that next step in the conversation and moving that conversation forward at the right pace. So the companies that we look at, this was actually data from about a year ago, so I imagine this could change that. 88% of companies had very solid content marketing strategy in place, but that was the minority of those groups, so that's about 16%. 72% have taken steps to assess and improve what they're doing from a content marketing perspective. Well, to go back again and say, all these folks aren't doing inbound, or at least purely inbound. What's driving this in the B2B context is adoption marketing automation as part of a larger effort to engage in the conversation with the buyer. So I want to get into some of the specific data points here. Let's start with content. And Alan yesterday had a great presentation about some different ways of creating content. There's some really great literature out there around how to step up your content creation efforts. I think a couple of things are interesting here. First of all, we see the relationships between best in class and other companies when it comes to having resources dedicated to generating content for your marketing campaigns. But given that 88% were either had a solid strategy or were improving it, there's still a pretty big gap here. And so this means that individuals are dedicated to that. Oftentimes this is called across marketing. And I think there's ways we can see significant data in our research around, for example, reuse and recycling of content. And again, go back to that. Really key is thinking about your content from the end going backwards, right? Think about all the different things that you can and want to create out of that content, and think about how you're creating it. So you kind of walk it back. Think, start with the end in mind. A webinar is just a great example.
Here on the far right, which is
And I think where things are going, particularly as web content management, web experience management starts to become better integrated with marketing and marketing campaign management, is I think this is where the future will go in terms of really optimizing our content and measuring the impact of that optimization. You know, we see this a lot more in the B2C world, things like testing targeted, A/B testing and so forth. But this is ultimately about content becoming personal. You know, the algorithm of one is really talking content on a one-to-one basis. So what's the impact of measuring the performance of content? Well, we see really big differences in terms of website conversion rate. Companies that are tracking the performance of their content, utilization of web content, nearly twice the website conversion rate of companies that aren't. Again, I'll stress this correlation, not causation. There's other factors here. Companies that are doing this tend to be best in class, tend to have a range of capabilities associated with good practices around content management. Really, by getting into marketing, much more direct role in controlling the content. These differences, but it's a telling and pretty significant gap. We also see a pretty big difference when it comes to year-over-year growth in the site traffic between companies that are doing this and companies that are. So let me transition and come back to something again that Alan talked about yesterday, which marketing map. Here we see the data that we are actually defining that map based on two factors. One is persona. If you're marketing to multiple personas, it's important to understand and to map out what content is being designed for what persona, whether it's a technical buyer or a financial buyer, etc. And where that content needs to come into play. And that's the second part of that, understanding the stage of the funnel where you're using particular piece of content. I think this is a good thing for a lot of companies right now. I think a lot of companies have content marketing map by default, the fact of the map, and say, yeah, we can scale, we can do infographics and video awareness, and we can do white papers for conversion and webinars for conversion. And further in the sales funnel, that's when we use our sales slips and our technical demos. But a helpful marketing map is really helpful in terms of where the gaps are, in terms of how you're addressing the market and the content store that you have. A lot of companies are undergoing, you know, content audit, if you will, to really see where things are in their company, what assets they have. There's an interesting point that we made on the content management panel yesterday, which is that there's a ton of content on our content management systems that has kind of got buried. Just like those webinars I talked about, that have kind of gotten some kinds of barriers. There's probably all kinds of stuff that's available. If you start mapping this out, taking inventory, and then pieces. So I want to share with you some of the content map that we developed out of research. Based on research on rich media and sales and marketing adoption for media. We actually cross all kinds of different content types. This, of course, is completely unusual. This is the eye chart. So I wanted to, what is kind of interesting is it's like a global view where you start at the top with marketing awareness and you go all the way down to close sales. And you can see the different, this is all companies, you can see the different adoption levels of different types of content. So you kind of get this like, but it's kind of more interesting when you start to dive into it and look at specific content types. So infographics, for example, you know, we all know these are being a lot of marketing awareness. Pieces of social content, we share it around, we share it internally, we share the links, you know, see other, you all can see the tweets go out, the infographic, and then capital letters, right? So we know that they use it as social objects to start that conversation, to get folks coming in the door, to paying attention to what we're doing. Use less in a marketing nurturing perspective.
hit the sales cycle, right? As our customers start becoming our advocates, it's really important to kind of keep them informed and keep engaging with them and entertaining them and engaging them. Particularly in the software world, we're doing lots of SaaS, software as a service, subscription based, which means that that to some extent switching costs are less, and customer retention is really key to the bottom line. And so, you know, again, if you have done this kind of evaluation, and this is an aggregated view, and particularly in your own organization, if you've done this kind of evaluation to see what they can perhaps some ideas of what might be effective at different points of the wire, you know, you can complete the business. White papers, yep. Yep, they're still around. Still using a lot of white papers. The ebook is
around. It's used quite a bit. I don't have a specific date in here. But the adoption isn't nearly as high as white papers. So these are still bread and butter. You see that they get used a ton in both marketing awareness and through the marketing funnel, conversion and nurturing. Much less than in sales, that's surprising to me. I thought that was content that a lot of sales professionals are using to keep the conversation going. Who would have figured? Unless you're looking at this and really looking at how content is being used, you might think that sales is a
So some concluding thoughts here. One is, I think, you know, people have come up on the impact and outcome of functional content-based marketing, but I think there's clearly, it's important to keep in mind the spirit of inbound marketing or change.com content, which is about driving that engagement, driving that conversation, how it's educated, how it entertains competition to actually create value. Get creative about creating content. Just see to learn a little bit more about that. And then, of course, align content with the buyer's journey. And measurement and metricing and instrumentation of content is really key to doing that. Otherwise, you're operating gut instinct. And I think that could be right 60-70% of the time. But you're going to miss some interesting opportunities and counterintuitive moments to find out what content, not just what types of content, but what specific content is actually moving the needle for you from a sales and marketing perspective. So finally, again, I want to thank Alan and the Pulse Network and IMS for the great audience. Really appreciate the opportunity to share this. Thank you.
That's right, one quick question is, so there's so much great data here. How can people get a deeper look at some of that data? Are you publishing down their blog? Are there ways people can sort of download abstracts? What's the best way to get the abstracts? I guess a deeper look there.
Absolutely. So most of that content is free. You do have to find a landing page, most of it is free. A lot more of that content, so it's also a library open to our community, so it's something we're working on. But for now, recent research is available at haverty.com. My email address is here, so feel free to email me if there's something you're interested in. We've got a piece on video-based marketing that I mentioned. We've got a piece on marketing management. I think that's still available. There's a piece on web experience management that's available. I'm going to be publishing this month. Some of this research on content-based marketing. But feel free, if any of this content on the website, just go to the link on our site. Just email me if you're interested in. I can shoot out links to a couple of things. I'm not sure if you do that as well. We have some links to some
of the research. I especially recommend people, when we talk about video-rich media, and Ardent has a number of data points from Avid, especially around these rich media and sales and marketing. So really good stuff. I encourage you to check it out. Thank you again, Tripp. We're going to take a real quick sort of 5-minute-ish break as we change the stage here for our next panel, which I'm really looking forward to.
I don't want to be fanned. Avatar.
I really am.
He's
going
to be moderating our next panel. He's going to see how much he can talk on measuring influence, which we're all interested in.
Profile.
So give us 5 minutes, we'll set up the stage here.
Even your profile means it's
so maybe they're like the influence. The categories.
So if we've got two kept buckets. We've got one bucket which refreshes every couple of days, and then we've got a bucket of people that refreshes like when the tweets come in.
Right. Okay.
I think we're on that fast one.
Okay. I was just curious because I was thinking, I wonder what I've been tweeting about at the event.
Oh, yeah. Let's have a look.
But I was like, I won't go look, and I thought I'd just ask you first what the answer was because.
And what I can do if it's hasn't been refreshed, I'll refresh it. But I think we've got you on a fast refresh.